Okay, this is Yerushalmi. We're holding on the Gimel on the base. So we're actually still in the middle of the sugya. Remember that what we were talking about is the shir of Bein HaShemashot, and whether Rabbi Yossi Bein HaShemashot, which is Keharavayin, Zendik Nasim, Zayotse, is a suffix during the entire period of Rabbi Nechemiah's Bein HaShemashot, or whether it follows instantly after the Bein HaShemashot of Rabbi Nechemiah. And so the kasha had been asked by Rabbi Yosef to Rabbi Yochanan that according to this, there's no way that a re'iyah of a zav could be mechulak by the fact of Bein HaShemashot. Because since it's going to take you so long to know that the re'iyah was during Bein HaShemashot, by that time the re'iyah is long enough to be mechulak without Bein HaShemashot. Because as long as there's enough time to be re'iyah, go to the mikveh, come up, and then be re'iyah again, it's two separate re'iyahs. And certainly there's plenty of time for that in the length of the Bein HaShemashot that you're talking about, which is Nechemiah. Because he says it's chatzi mil. Chatzi mil is almost 10 minutes. So if you're timing that Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashot is constantly a suffix within that time, in practical terms, you're going to need 10 minutes in order to have a riyah that it was b'chulak vaday ben yom v'layla. But in 10 minutes, you don't need the fact that it's Bein HaShemashot. Seems to me that it's an impossibly powerful question. It proves that Chizkiyahu, who claims that Rabbi Yossi's shir was during the time of Rabbi Nechemiah at some point, at some unknown point, is totally wrong. So he was answered that, well, we're talking about a case Eliyahu Navi would show up, you know. Eliyahu Navi tells you, look, this is the minute that Rabbi Yossi was referring to. So then you have Echad Nichnas V'Echad Yotze, clarify, you know what it is. And you have, the fact that nowadays you don't have a practical application because we don't know when that is. I mean, so therefore what? Therefore we shouldn't tell you that according to Rabbi Yossi it makes nafkamina la'alocha. And that according to him you could have Bein HaShemashot being mechalik uriah, which is because you don't have enough information. I say, how does that prove anything? Says the Gemara, it is different ways of learning this, but probably the best way is to move that little dot, because it's very misleading. The printer put it in. And put it after the words man polig. Man polig is, come off it, man. Who's going to be arguing when Eliyahu HaNavi is telling you?
That's the way I have it here. They made it that way.
Okay, fine. So, but I'm saying the Tzuras Hadaf here, they stuck in the dot in the wrong place, if this is the Pshat. It's difficult to see how it could be the right place. So therefore, don't try to tell me it's talking about the Mishnah of Yer Machlokes with the Chemi Rabbi Yossi and it's going. If Eliyahu HaNavi was telling us that this is Bein HaShemashot, so then nobody would be sitting here and arguing. Rabbi Chanina, Chavrahon de Rabbanan, boy, Chanina had a very, very interesting question. And this is a fascinating issue that is going to be raised over here that has tremendous implications, Lagabe, in our big question, which is the Magen Avraham Gurah issue, the so-called Magen Avraham Gurah issue, which is actually an ancient machlokas. Okay, the Magen Avraham, the thing that the Magen Avraham does to mess everyone up, but that's why it's him particularly, is that he claims that no matter how you measure a Shah Zmanit during the day, the Zman Kriya Shema certainly begins from Alos HaShachar, because you can read Kriya Shema from Alos HaShachar, so it's ridiculous to say that Shalosh Shavos means from the Neitzachama, even if that's the time of Hatchila for Kriya Shema. Okay? So that pulls back the Zman of Kriya Shema by 72 minutes, some say 80 minutes, some say 90 minutes, forgetting about even the difference in the length of the Shah Zmanit. Okay? But there's another question.
And then 3 hours meant from Alos HaShachar.
Yeah. There's another question. The other question is the measurement of the day, right? We spoke about this in our halacha reviews. The measurement of the day from Neitz to Shkia is the measurement of the day from Alos to Tzeis. Now, our Gemara touches on the question, because, I mean, you could say that actually the Alot is the beginning of the day, and the Shkia is the beginning of the night.
You don't have to go to the extreme.
That's the value of such a thing would be, that basically what you're saying is, look at it from the point of view of the planet as a whole, okay? So you're saying the Alot on one side means that across the planet on the other side, you're talking about Tzeit HaKokhavim, right? No. Shkia is just the beginning,
uh-huh.
Right?
Okay.
But the Alot is basically the end. In other words, the very earliest part. That means that the sun now is not above the horizon. If it was above the horizon, then it would be sinking below the horizon if you're on the other side of the earth. But if we're going to start at Alot, right? So then that means that what happens on the other end? If we're going to say the equivalent of Alot is Tzeit HaKokhavim, then what we're doing is we're giving a much broader period for the day than we're giving for the night. Because basically, you know, look at it like this. Here's Alot, and here's Tzeit HaKokhavim, and only the distance between my hands underneath is the nighttime, right? And all of the distance between my hands above is the daytime. That's not fair. But it's worse than the question of it's not fair. It means that you'll never have, even at the equinox, you'll never have an equivalent day and night. If you do that, right? So if you want to do it fairly, then we should do what you suggested. We should have Alot here and Shkia over here. So then that gives us equal times for morning, for daytime, and for nighttime.
Wouldn't Nate and Shkia be equal times?
Nate and Shkia would do the opposite. It would do this. Yeah, right.
Both of them is the sun.
What happens at, what would happen at Nate? At Nate's the
sun.
How much time is there between Nate's and Shkia, as opposed to between the Alos and Seis?
So at the equinox, Nate and Shkia was 12 hours exactly.
Well, whatever 2 points. If I measure 2 points. Can I measure, is it the same measuring it from Alos to Tzeis or from Nates to Shkia?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by measuring 2 points.
What 2 points, can I take?
2 points in time?
No, 2 points in the position of the sun under the horizon.
Okay.
So I clearly can't do that. I can't take any 2 points. Because if I'm measuring the sun beneath the horizon as one period on both ends, I end up with less, right?
Yeah.
If I measure at the same point of the horizon, so fine. In other words, at Nate's, you're right, at Nate's edge, and Shkia, I have my hands pointing evenly right across.
Mm-hmm.
But if I start changing it around and I take some other point, even if you say, well, it's the equivalent point, it doesn't make sense. Because then I don't get the even amount of time in the night and the day. Supposedly, I have 12 hours a night and 12 hours in the day. And I'm going to be defining them differently. Unless I go, as you said, unless I go from Nate to Shkia. And that's all. But I don't have any ability to change that. Even if I try to change it equally on both ends. So I'm in trouble. That our Gemara discusses. And this is really the only place that it's discussed. And therefore, the suggestion, Lagabi Zman Kriyat Shema, of the Magen Avraham, let's take Alos on one end and Shkia on the other end. And even if we would measure the day from Nates to Shkia, we start the Zman of Kriya Shema in terms of Shalosh Shas Bayom from Alos HaShachar. There's something inconsistent about that in terms of the length of the day. It doesn't bother anybody because we already saw that Kriya Shema is not a din in day and night. So we could excuse the fact that you may have longer time to say Kriya Shema Shel Yom than you do for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, let's say. But certainly, if you're coming to define by Yom, you've got a problem running from Alos HaShachar to Tzeit HaKochavim. Okay, so this is what our Gemara discusses. Who brings it up? Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina, the friend of the Rabban, he asked like this. Kumo de atamar ba'arvit, nir'u shlosha kochavim, af al pi she'achama netuna be'emtza arakia, laila. You said that despite the fact that the sun is now actually beneath the horizons, we mean be'emtza arakia, meaning it's right below the horizon, and you're calling that in-between area. Now, let's say it's 5 degrees, whatever the sheet is, 5 degrees beneath the horizon, 8 degrees beneath the horizon, 5.4 degrees, it's like five different sheets of this. You're telling me that that time is now considered to be day until you've got your kochavim, right? And at that point, we call it to be Laila. So, I can see the sun though, can I? I mean, I can still see the sun, even though there's three, the shine of the sun, obviously, because it's the body of the sun. So, can't we say the same thing in the morning? We should say that let's be consistent. That penumbra's period is considered to be Laila. So, Bishakris at Alos HaShachar, it should also be Laila. In, yeah, between the light. In other words, you're in the between the shadow, the darkness, and the light. It's called the penumbra in astronomical terms. So we should do the same thing. Let's be consistent. Sun shining above the horizon from beneath, a glow in the sky, dark. Night. The same glow in the morning is day. Does that make sense? I mean, if it's dark, so then it should stay night until Shkia. I'm sorry, until Zricha. Because you're saying that if I can't actually see the sun, if I'm seeing the glow of the sun coming up over the horizon, but that's all, that's considered still to be the nighttime. So in the morning, it should also still be considered nighttime. So why are you telling me that from Alos HaShachar it's daytime? I'm confused. Why isn't that nighttime? So it's sort of like the semi-darkness. The semi-darkness period should be called nighttime. Omer Rav Abba said, Rav Abba, well, no, you can't say that because it says, Hashemesh yatsa al ha'aretz velot bot soara. And on the other hand, it says, it's amazing now that we see this happening all the time. The Gemara and the Yerushalmi and the Bavli has a hidden agenda. The certain issues that are going to be raised, the excuse at raising them may be totally different than the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, but you're going to end up darshaning the same sukkim for some strange reason. Okay? So here, our whole opening of the Sechva and the Bavli was about the question of Bo HaShemesh V'Taher. And it points out in the Bavli that in the Yerushalmi they couldn't figure this out because they could only bring a riot from the Mishnah. But guess what? Here we bring it in the Yerushalmi for another reason. Because on the one hand it says, Hashemesh yatsa al ha'aretz, and Lot's been walking, right? He's coming into Tzohar. On the other hand it says, Ubo Hashemesh v'taher. So now it's being makish yitzia l'biya. It's calling the Shemesh a yotzei and a ba. That means that it's comparing the yitzia of the Shemesh to the biya of the Shemesh. So just like we're ready to say, Ma biyato, we're ready to say that the leaving of the sun is at the point that the sun has waved goodbye, so to speak. It's mitkasem in habriot. So then, yitziyato, which is the way we talk about mourning, is kishile yitvadala briot. When the briot get their first hint of the sun, then that's their mourning. So, the idea over here is, it isn't the question of the amount of light that defines night or dark. It's the question of the relationship to the sun. The sun's saying goodbye, it's night. The sun's saying hello, it's morning. That's the point.
Huh. It's like when you're expecting someone to come.
The Gemara's going to actually say that.
So that would be an in-between sheet to this, so you'd have,
No. So in other words, as the sun the son has said goodbye, even though you know it's still there, because
right.
it's like a right after Ben Hashmash's time.
Right.
It's Laila. The same time that I see the son at that moment in the morning.
Before Tzeis.
It's Boker. It's Tzeis. That's Tzeis.
Well, that is Tzeis.
And here it's Alos. So I say, hello. Hello, Mr. Son. So I say, hello, Mr. Son. That means that it's now morning. I don't say, gee, Mr. Son's coming soon. So it's still night, but it'll soon be morning. Okay, so that's the idea. Says Rebbe Ba. Look, it says Beferish in the Torah. It says, HaBoker Or. Okay? That means the Torah is calling Or Boker. What are you telling me? Well, but it's not enough Or. It should still be Laila. The Torah says that's the point. Tell me, Rebbe Yishmael, how come it says Baboker, Baboker? That's to tell me there's a Boker to the Boker. Don't think the Boker means when you've already seen the face of the sun and you're waving, good morning, Mr. Sun. There's a Boker to that Boker, and that's all it's a Shachar. Omer, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Bon. Look, it's very simple. You don't need any Psukim. If your intent is to ask me, my dear Rabbi Hanina, that we should view the thickness of the rakia, those 5 degrees, let's say, right, in which you want to say, okay, at this point, let's call it Laila. And do the same thing in the morning. Let's call it Laila in the morning too. No, sir. Because if you do that, bein barvit, bein b'shachrit, nimtseita omersha in ayon v'layla shavim. You now have an unequal number of hours in the night and in the day, which is fine for most of the year, but not on the equinox, right? On the equinox, it can't be that way, because it says Beferish on the first day of Tkufat Nisan, which is the equinox, the first day of Tkufat Tishrei, which is the winter, the autumn, the equinox. Then Ayom V'Layla Shavim. According to you, they're not Shavim, because we're going to give more credit to the night. And we can't do that. Omer Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu says, like Eliezer says, basically, Naflinu Miderech Eretz. Like, how do people relate to things, okay? Imagine now, the king is going on in his peregrinations, right? So what do we say? The Melech Shari Malka Nafak. I forgot the little Nafak. Amrin the Nafak. The king now is still, you can still see the last caravans. But, I mean, you say, the king has left on his trip. So it's bye-bye king. Okay? But now, when he's coming back, now there's something wrong with the girsa over here. The gro changes the girsa. Nafak, you have the gro there.
Isn't that a ghost?
Isn't that the, that always brings the gro on the bottom. What's the word? Okay, fine. But he's coming back, Afagav Delo Al, you see the first signs. Ah! The king has returned! The king has returned, he still hasn't gotten into the palace. That doesn't matter, you're waiting for someone to come. You're waiting for somebody to come, he's come. That's the point. The same thing is, hello Mr. Sun. So hello Mr. Sun is Boker, bye bye Mr. Sun is Laila. Doesn't have to be consistent. So, Zeu, a person who is being omeid umitpalil, tzarich lashvot et raglav, he has to stand there at attention, with his legs together. Now there's a machlokas, why this is true.
What's the Zeu's name, the connection?
Zeh, no. No, it's not like the Bavli. In the Yerushalmi, Zeu means Zeh. Ha, it means ha. Zeusho made him with them, how made him is Paleo, Tzorek Lashvot et Raglav. Train Amoroi. Now there's two Amoroi, one is Reb Levi and one is Reb Simon. We don't know exactly who says what, but we do know that Chad Omar ke Malachim, Chad Omar ke Kohanim. One says that it's to be like the Malachim, and that's how we paskin. That it says in the Pasuk, V'Ragleim Regel Yishara, and therefore since the Malachim stand as if they have a single regel, so Malachim stand as if they have a single regel. So you have to stand with your feet together, pressed together, as if you have one foot. Kohanim. What does it mean like Kohanim? I never said Kohanim stand that way. Yes. Because remember that the Torah says you need to have the kevish in front of the Mizbeach. Why? Lo taleh b'ma'alot al Mizbechi. that we don't want you spreading your legs as you go up to the Mizbeach. Again, this is the morning skirt issue kind of thing. You don't expose your genitals by spreading your legs as you're walking up. And it's bizayin to the Beis HaMikdash, bizayin to the Mizbeach. Which means that the way that the Kohen would walk up the Kevesh was not by spreading his legs. He would be careful to walk Ekev Bitzat Godel, V'Godel Eitzelai Kev. So he would walk basically with little steps, but putting his heel by his toe by his heel, and walk mincing steps. Right, thank you. I was wondering what that word was. And therefore, his regel is regel yishara in a different sense than the malachim. It's regel yishara in that his legs aren't spread apart, which is a different point. In other words, if I want to stand in tefillah according to this Zman Yoma, with one foot in front of the other foot, and once again making certain my feet are not spread, because that's the idea. So that means that the hakpater for tefillah is also a question of exposure. In other words, when a person wants to stand in a sexy way and so on, he'll expose himself, so to speak. I will expose himself. He'll spread his legs. Well, he's spreading, I mean, he's covered anyway. But the point is that it's a more exposed stance. You don't take an exposed stance like that in the Beit HaMikdash, that we learned from the Kohanim. You don't take a stance like that in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we see in terms of the Malachim, but it's not because of the exposure. It's because of the attention. When I stand at attention, I can't put one foot in front of the other. So it turns out it's a big machlokas here in understanding what is meant by the idea of lahashvot et raglav. Lahashvot one in front of the other, or lahashvot one next to the other. Is the intent to stand at attention, or is the intent to stand with respect in terms of exposure? Okay? In the Ma'al Yomek and Malachim, it says, Raglayim Regel Yishara. So it's like it was one leg, as Rabbi Chanina Bar Androi says, B'Shem Reb Shmuel Bar Sutar, HaMalachim Ein Lehem Tvitzim. There's no springs to a Malach. Actually, Tvitzim in the Lashon Yerushalmi means joints. A place that can bend, and there's nothing elastic, so to speak. We also use kafitz as elastic. So there's no knee in a malach, meaning he's standing completely at attention. And that's what it means over here. My taima, where do we see this? We see it from Daniel. Because when Daniel wants to describe his vision of being approached by Sari Mala, so it says, Karavat al-chad min kamaya kainaya. I came close to one of those who stand standing. What's that shot mean? In other words, that there's no room for any bending. The whole definition of this entity is that it is at attention. So it's kamaya kamaya. Om Ravuna. Zeshiro etako anime beta kneset. It's somebody who is in shul. And the kohanim are there and they're saying birkat kohanim. So when they say the bracha rishona, they should say Borchu et Hashem Malachav. The tzibur should say Borchu et Hashem Malachav. So, in other words, here we're relating the two sugyas, Malachim and Kohanim, the same way that Kohanim are being mevarechas, we're being masked the bracha of the Malachim and the Shemayim. Takarish Borchu kevayachol. Kohanim on earth are blessing Yisrael. The Malachim and the Shemayim are saying over the brachas of Yisrael, really. Because Yisrael has to be Pesach for Bracha. Bishnia, we say, Borchu et Hashem kol tziva'av. Bishlishit, Borchu Hashem kol ma'asav. This is all part of the same Tehillah, where David HaMelech says over these psukim. So this is a reference. The same way we see there's three brachas over here. There's also three brachas in terms of Birkas Kohanim. B'Musaf, in Musaf b'bracha rishana tzarich lomar shir ha'ma'alot, Hinei Borchu et Hashem kol avdei Hashem ha'omdim bebeit Hashem belailot. Bishniya su'u yedeichem kodesh. Bishlishit yivarecha Hashem mitzion. Now, im hayu arba, if Lamaisa, this was a day that has an additional birkas kohanim, let's say Yom Kippur, Tainus, where you have ni'ilat, so you have now four tefillot, then what you do is, you're chozer to lita'ata bekadmita, urevi'ata betininavita. What you do is you say over again the first set, that you said with the first bracha, and the second set that you say over at the, for the next bracha. Omer Rabbi Chatzna.
A-B-A-B is?
Yeah, A-B-A-B. Omer Rabbi Chatzna. Me'ayelet ha-shachar ad shi'or ha-mizrach adam ha'alech arba'at milim. Mi shi'or ha-mizrach ad shi'tenetzach ha-mah arba'at milim. From the time of Ayelet HaShachar, now Ayelet HaShachar is very early in the morning before Alos HaShachar, and here we're talking about the first markings of dawn that does not light up the horizon, but that has just a pole of light that's sticking up like rays of light that have broken through from the sun, but there's no reflection across the horizon. So that's called Ayelet HaShachar. So from that time until the Ye'or HaMizrach, until the entire eastern horizon is alight with light, is 4 mil. So in other words, it's the 72 minutes. And from the time of Ye'or HaMizrach until Nates is also 4 mil. And that's a pasuk. It says, Uchamo HaShachar Allah. And then it says, Vashemesh Yatzah La'aretz V'lod Bo Tzohara. So you can measure from Ukamo HaShachar Ola to HaShemesh Yatzah La'aretz, and that tells you that the time that it takes from Ukamo HaShachar Ola till the time that Lot came to Tzoar is the time that if you measure the distance from Tzoar to Sodom, where Lot was, you now know how long the period of Alos HaShachar is. Now, the distance from stone to Tzoar is 4 mil. What? Stone to Tzoar is 4 mil. Did you ever go there? It's Yoter HaAvin. It's more than 4 mil. Amar Rabbi Zira, I'm talking about as the crow flies. Remember that these malachim, they're just as good as the crow flies. I mean, look, you know, if you're being transported magically, You look at the distance that you were transported as being straight, okay? So the malach bekader lefnei amaderach. Basically, you're going straight through the mountains for all intents and purposes. So if you're measuring a straight line from Lot to Tzoar, it's 4 mil. Obviously, if you got to climb up mountains and come down the other side, it's going to take a lot longer than 4 mil.
On the other hand, how fast does a malach fly?
That's the speed of light.
This is their first evidence of neutrinos.
Speed of light, right.
They're just like neutrinos.
Now wait, and how do you know? Okay, but that's from the time of Shemesh Yatzah back to Alos HaShachar. It says, Gemara Shachar Allah, but you said that there's an additional 72 minutes before that, going backwards from Alos HaShachar back to Ayelet HaShachar. Where'd you get that from? How do you know that? You said, Minayim Ayelet HaShachar Ad Shi'or HaMizrach Arba'at Milim. No, because it says, Uchemo HaShachar Allah. Why did it say Uchemo HaShachar? It should say, Kemo HaShachar Allah Vashemesh Yatzah La'aret. Right? Like the shear of HaShachar Allah till Tzeis HaShemesh. The Uchemo means, and there's another shear like that. The shear before that is like that. So, kamo ukamo, mila medami lachaverta, the pasuk is being makish, one shear to the other shear. Om Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bon, hada ayalta de shachra, manda makuchavata hitaya. This phenomenon of an ayalat hashachra, there are people who call it the morning star. Mistake. It's a mistake. If it were a star, then it would always be at the same point. But the fact is, zimnadihim mikadma vizimnadihim achra, the amount of time between Alot HaShachar and the period that we have between Ayelet HaShachar and Alot HaShachar is different. So it's not an astronomical phenomenon. It's not a star. It has something to do with atmospheric interference and therefore changes all the time. So it's not really, when they're saying that, that's a ta'ut. My Kedon, what the heck is it anyway, this Ayelet HaShachar? I mean, you take it for granted, we know what it is, we knew what it is. It's Kimin Trei Dekur Nin Denuhur, The Salkim Medincha Umenaharim. It looks basically like two rays of light, like horns of light that are coming, which is the Hebrew word for ray, Karen. So two rays of light that are coming up on the eastern horizon that are not spread. It's not spread light. As if there's a spotlight in two locations that's coming up. And that's some type of atmospheric phenomena that is taking the rays of the sun from beneath the horizon and bringing them to your attention by bending the light. Dilma, remember that in the Yerushalmi, Dilma does not mean if. Dilma means ma'aseh shahaya, which in Yerushalmi terms is always maybe.
Is always what?
Dilma, in Bavli terms, may mean maybe. In the Yerushalmi, it means it's the way it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would be the equivalent in the
Yeah, Uvda. Or Maisa. Maisa, Rebbe Chiyevarova. Rebbe Shimon ben Chalafta, that were being Malech Bechada Bikat Arbel. Barnea will love this one. Here is Rebbe Chia, Rav and Rebbe Shimon ben Chalafta are walking in Barnea's neighborhood. It was Barnea's neighborhood. It was his neighborhood. Because Barnea loves going to the Arbel. And there they were, and it was early in the morning, the Kritzata, just at the break, Kritza means the break, a little hint of dawn. They saw this phenomena, the green flash in reverse. So they see the Ayalat HaShachar. Says Reb Chia Rabba to Reb Shimon ben Chalafta, by Rebbe, he says, you know, Kachi Gula Tansha Yisrael. There you go. That's the way the Gulas Yisrael is. It starts off so small you can barely notice it. Betchila kim'a kim'a. You have this gradual change in which you get the first hint of light. And then it takes so long, you got 72 minutes here, until you even get the horizon lit up. Nothing's happening. It's very boring, that first stage. It takes a long time to see any movement. It's only like, in retrospect, you say, hey, you know, when did that happen? It's actually light across the whole horizon. And then, kol mashi olechet yirabav olechet. At that point, it seems to go faster and faster until finally you have a breakout of the sun.
Is this also the Bavli?
My, what?
Is that still the
Bavli? Yeah, a small shinui. Kachi gula tamshe Yisrael. So. My timer, ki eshev b'choshech, Hashem Orli. I see that first or even when I'm still in the Choshev. Kein Batchila, and of course those of you who want to learn this Erev Purim should realize that first it says Umordecha Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. And then it says Vayikach Haman et Alavush Vet Asus and brings it to Mordecai. And then the next step is Mordecai goes back to Shar HaMelech. So like, you know, nothing much is happening. I mean, it was this little breakthrough. Breakthrough is the Alos HaShachar. And Mordechai's sitting there waiting for something to happen. Next thing you know, Mordechai Yatzah Mekhne HaMelech B'Lavush Malchus. And soon enough, La'yudim Aita Orav Zimcha. There you go. Same idea. Things look bad. You get a little hint of light. Then everything seems to have gone nowhere. Okay, so you get a little bit Lavush and Asus. And yeah, so, and then you go back into, as Rashi says, you're wearing now your big day Avelut, after being dressed up for this Lavush and Asus, you're back in the Avelut. And before you know it, my name, my Torah, it's been out.
Yeah. After
the Gulf War Purim?
Right. Yisrael said, when he went back to Saif Aver, and we had Yeshua of Saddam's fall, but it's not over.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Very good. Very nice. Okay, I think that's more than enough. Wait, I took you a little bit over today. I apologize. Pay close attention to me, won't you?
The topic is...